Alrighty, and we are at 13 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon, and we have 68, our current temperature here in Albany. As you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. As we broadcast from the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council Studios, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, we are Chasm. And yes, it is our Musicians Come and Play program. And I always have to look because the number is getting bigger all the time. This is our 294th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program. I believe, no, 295th. Make that 295, yes, in that continuing series. And we have our guest on the line, and we're going to go to the phone line right now and bring him in and say good morning to Mr. Mike Wenderlich. Mike, how are you doing?
Good morning. Good morning, Cy. Good morning, everybody out there at KASM Radio listening area. So I'm doing just great. So great to be on the phone. Thank you very much for asking me to be on your program, Cy.
Very good, Mike. And where are we speaking to you?
I'm sitting in my office. I have an office down in my home where I have all my instruments kind of laid out, and I do some of the work that I've been doing over the last couple of years, and so I'm talking to you from there.
And
right in the good old Silver Lake, Minnesota.
Kind of like God's country, huh?
Well, you know, we think so. It's home. So I grew up in this particular part of the world. Did a little bit of traveling during my business career, but this has always been home base where my family and my wife's family is from Norwood, Young America area. And so, yeah, this has always been kind of home.
Well, wonderful. You're born and raised there, you say? Where'd you go to school then?
Yes, I was born here in Silver Lake. My father and mother were dairy farmers on the north side of town, so I grew up on a dairy farm. Did all the stuff that kids do on the dairy farm. I worked with all the neighbors, helped baling hay and so forth. And when I was a very young age, about 10 years old, I took up playing drums in high school. And I found out real quickly that you could make a lot more money and have a lot more fun playing in bands, playing drums, than I could pitching bales. So I did that at a pretty young age. So the first job I ever had was with Bill McCuskey, which would have been Wee Willie's father, Happy Bill, here at the Silver Lake Auditorium, and when I was about 10 years old. And so I was a little kid that could keep a decent beat, and so Bill and I played a few bars in the area and a few parties and so forth. And then from there, I had a cousin by the name of Chris Wenderlich and played concertina. He was a couple of years younger than I am, and then we started playing house parties and stuff and little gatherings and get-togethers. We'd play all the bars in the country around here, Sherman Station, Henry's Corner, some of the local beer joints down in town on a Sunday afternoon. And then I got hooked up with a fella that was a year younger than I was that played concertina by the name of Dave Lamont. And his parents were pretty active in the polka music circuit. And so we used to play again in the local area with about a 30, 40-mile radius. And then every year we'd go down for about two or three years in a row down to New Ulm Polka Days. And since we were the young kids, we'd play in the bars in New Ulm Polka Days. And that's kind of where my career in the music business really took off after that. Wow. I found we played quite a bit, and then Bruce Melke, then I hooked up with him, and we played like the supper clubs in the area, where we played Fireside Inn in Wilmer. We'd play the Velvet Coach in Hutchinson on a pretty regular basis, and that's kind of where I picked up different types of music, different genre of music. Back then, Bruce wasn't playing a accordion, he was playing an organ. And so we'd haul that big, heavy organ in, and we did a lot of Sinatra and Ray Price and, you know, music of that type. And so I got to play different genres and be able to use, you know, to kind of create my style that way. I also got discovered by a fellow by the name of Roy Steinborn, who played country western music. And so he introduced me to a salesman in the Hutchinson area, Smiley Erickson, who had a band called Smiley Erickson and West Adairs. And I hooked up with them during that same time period. Again, this was all in high school, when I was like a sophomore, junior, senior in high school. And we played all over Minnesota playing country western music, so which was a lot of fun. Smiley had a daughter that was about the same age I was who did the singing, and so we would do a lot of harmonizing together. So I got a pretty appreciation for playing country western music when I played with the Westerners.
Okay.
And then the Polish polka music came on the scene about the time I was a junior, maybe going into a senior in high school, with the Gene Thomas and the Jolly Brothers. Well, actually, back then it was Joe Gene and Fred Tomaszewski.
Yeah.
They came in. They had Louis Bassani and Joe Grunda, who was a stand-up drummer, and I thought, God, that's fun. And so I started doing that in some of the old-time gigs I was doing. And we played at the Paradise Ballroom, and that's where I met Tom Rosinski, who then was playing with Gene Thomas and the Jolly Brothers. And I got to sit in with their band a couple times when we were playing there at the old Paradise Ballroom. And I'm about a senior in high school back then. And I started playing with the Zelazny Brothers in Northeast Minneapolis and started setting in with a couple of the other old-time, Polish old-time bands in Northeast and played with them, along with Bruce Bradley or with Smiley Erickson. You know, I was pretty busy. I was playing somewhere almost every weekend.
Wow.
And so I did that. And then after graduating from high school here in Silver Lake, then I went on to, which is now Ridgewater College in Hutchinson. Back then it was Hutchinson Vocational School, playing pretty much, you know, quite a bit. And then I got a call from Gene Thomas. I was about 18 years old. And he said, well, Joe Gene and Fred, or Louis Bassani and Joe Grunda started Jolly Jokers. He had an interim drummer for about 9 months. And then Tommy Mazinski recommended me to Gene, saying, hey, this young kid is pretty good. He can do the Polish old time like Little Wally Jegolo does out in Chicago. So I auditioned for that and got that job, a full-time job, and I worked with Gene Thomas just about the whole time that I was going on to technical school. After technical school, I quit and worked in Chicago for a while, but yet my girlfriend, who is now my wife, and Tommy was starting a brand new band with his brother, asked me to come back, you know, and be with his band, because he was starting the Rosinski Brothers back then. And so after about a 6 or 7 month tenure over in Chicago, the company I was working for, I was destined to go to New Jersey, and I played that area, the industrial part of New Jersey, with Gene, and I said, you know what, I'm a country boy. I really don't want to, you know, be yeah. living in the big city like that. So I came back and started playing with Tommy. Did that for about 2.5 years, got married during that time period, started raising a family, and it was getting to be a little bit too much, having a full-time job and then playing, you know, 5-6 days a week besides, and then going in on practice. And so then I left the Mrozinski Brothers and went to work with the Polish Playboys, which is my brother's band, and we only played on weekends. And I did that for about 6 years. So, then we kind of, in 1979, we pretty much, 1980, somewhere in there, we pretty much disbanded as a band because everybody had careers, they had young families. And I didn't do anything for about 17 years. So, until one day when our kids were already going off to college and off to school, I got a call from Wally Pickle. And he said, Mike, I need a drummer bad. Do you still know how? And I said, geez, I don't know, but I'll try. So I had that one job, and I stuck with him full-time for another over 17 years until he passed away here just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the meantime, I got picked up and subbed in with just about every other old-time band in the area. I play part-time with the Winnegar Band. I played with Leon Olson. I played with Larry Olson. I played pretty regularly with Harvey Becker's band and the Riverside Dutchman. And if I get a call from somebody and they need help, you know, I'm always willing to help. So that's kind of where my career has been. So
I guess. So who is your wife? What is her name?
Sure. My wife is Susan. She was Susan Feltman from Nora Young America. So it's a big family out that way.
Sure.
And we've been married now for going on 46 years.
So. Oh, good for you. About the same time frame as us. How many children?
We have three. So I have a daughter, Heidi, who lives in Chicago. She's a vice president for Salesforce Software, a regional vice president. She covers the Midwest doing that. And she has two little boys, so that's seven and five, and her husband is a regional director for Sysco Foods in Chicago. So when we go to Chicago, we get to go to some pretty nice restaurants.
I see.
My second oldest is Chad and his wife, Jen. My second oldest was a military man career. He just retired after 26 years in the U.S. Army as a major, been all over the world.
Congratulations.
And, thank you. And, yeah, we're pretty proud of his career. But he's coming back to Minnesota. In fact, he started a job with Optum, which is a division of United Healthcare, as a program manager. And what he's doing is working with veterans to try and make their medical services easier for the veterans in the Midwest area so that they don't have to go through all this complications or red tape in order to get their services. So that's what he's working on. His family is still in North Carolina. They're trying to sell their house, and it's hopefully this will all come together in the next couple months. We'll get everybody relocated to Minnesota. So,
okay.
And then our third son is a truck driver. He has his own rig, and he's an independent fella where he subcontracts his truck and trailers to different job sites and different things, and been doing well. So he's the only one that's living in Minnesota so far. He's up in Becker or Big Lake, Minnesota. So
now, did any of the kids, any of them, take after Dad at all? Did they pick up music at all, or did they think that was taboo?
They both did. My two oldest did in high school. We lived in Lester Prairie for about 18 and a half years, and that's where our kids went to high school. And my second oldest was a very good sax player, but once he joined the Army, that was pretty much it.
So
he went from the musical career to the Army life.
So, oh, yes.
They dropped it. But they all can carry a tune. They can sing. It's just that, the business came first.
Yep. And of course, the opportunities aren't quite there like they were back in the days when you and I were, their age and younger. So.
Exactly. I mean, I'm glad that I lived, did this in the era that was available there. I mean, there was a lot of opportunity. I played in bars and things where they were serving drinks, and I never, I was busy. I was working. There was a lot of theater to see. It never really interested me that much. I mean, and it was a lot more lenient back then than
absolutely
the laws and stuff are today.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
And everybody had a good time. There's never any trouble at all.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's why we call it the good old days.
I guess so, yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You bet. Well, Mike, if I can ask you to hold that thought for just a moment. We've already reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. Time to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market. And then we'll come back with you and continue the conversation.
That sounds great.
All right. So the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats and award-winning sausages, reminding you to stop by each and every Friday and Saturday and patronize our local charitable organizations who host the cookouts out in front of the St. Joe Meat Market. Organizations like the St. Joe Lions, the St. Joe Lady Y2K Lions, the Knights of Columbus, Sons of the Legion, and others, all volunteering their time and talent, cooking up those great entrees on the grill, hamburger patties, brats, hot dogs, and more, each organization in their own special way. All proceeds from these sales are usually returned right back into the community. Hats off to all of you for a job well done. This weekend on Friday and Saturday, it will be the St. Joe Lady Lions. Come out and roar just a little bit with the ladies and socialize while enjoying a brat and a beverage for a very reasonable fee. The St. Joe Meat Market cures and smokes pig ears and bones and now beef liver, jerky for pet food treats. There are treats for all sizes of pets, everything from Little Muffy and Cece to Fido and Pluto. Pick up a special treat for your pet your next trip in to the St. Joe Meat Market. The brat of the week this week is another very popular brat. It's the smoked tater tot hot dish brat. Stock up with plenty for when friends and family drop by. As always, you can take 30 cents off each package at the checkout counter all week long in limited quantities. The St. Joe Meat Market open daily Monday through Thursday, 6 in the morning till 6 in the evening, Friday nights till 7, Saturdays till 5, and closed on Sunday. As always, for more in-store specials, like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or you can call 320-363-4913. That's the St. Joe Meat Market. And Mike, for being our guest on the program, this is how it works. We put up a nice package at the meat market, along with Chasm. We mail that out to you, priority mail. Hope that you and your wife and family enjoy it in good health. How's that for you?
Oh, that's great. We appreciate that very much.
You bet. And like I've mentioned to other folks, as much traveling and playing as you've done, you've probably had occasion to enjoy a good brat here or there, huh?
Oh, yes. Yeah, especially when we used to play the Red Carpet Inn over in Milwaukee. So that was always a must when you had a break, go out and get one of those real good brats. So, but actually, you can't beat the food that's processed here up at in this area. It's pretty good stuff. So.
You bet. That is true. The thought just occurred to me that with all the bands and all the opportunities that you were taking up back in those years that you just told us all about, you must have had a bunch that you had to turn down too then, huh?
I did. Yeah, I mean, because a lot of times you had some conflicts, but yet some people at times call and ask if you could sit in because their drummer was sick or their musician couldn't make it. And I said, well, I can't. I'm already booked. But, yeah, and the good thing about it, though, I've got to see a lot of places, a lot to meet a lot of good people, you know, and some have been lifelong friends in this business. So whether they're musicians or people that used to come and attend our dances, and that's a great thing about it, the camaraderie of the old-time people here. You know, they're very loyal, and they like the music. Again, coming out of the New Ulm area, I know the musicians I play with, like when I play with Jerry Cale and Harvey Becker, Myron Milbauer, you know, Myron used to be a Myron Wolf and Myron Milbauer. We do a lot of hula-rye music, which is quite unusual. There isn't a lot of bands that do that old-style hula-rye. And there's quite a few people that really appreciate that music because it's kind of a dying art form. So.
It is. It is. And just recently had Lowell Schubert on the program, and lo and behold, there is your name. You're the drummer for Lowell Schubert and Friends. That must have been quite a thrill to play with that group.
It was fun, yeah, and I still play with Lowell quite a bit. In fact, we got a few gigs that are coming up here shortly. Usually him and I, Nancy Buckentine, will get together, and we'll probably do, maybe a dozen or so a year or more. And, you know, and then Lowell is a regular band member in the Harvey Becker band. And I play again with Harvey, probably another 12 to 15 dance jobs a year with Harvey. And he's a great musician. I mean, for a fella that had these boxes and then went into dairy farming, put them in the closet for 42 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Until his son asked him to play for his wedding, and he pulled him out, and he's been playing ever since. I mean, the man is phenomenal.
He really is. And, did some beautiful harmonies on that recording with Nancy.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I've been singing since I was a little kid. When I was about 2 years old, my folks used to get me up at night and have me sing Davy Crockett to their friends. So when they'd come back from a dance somewhere. So that's one of the things that I've always done. I sing in the church choir.
Uh-huh.
I sing in the men's group. And I like to sing harmonies and also help fit in with the other bands that I help with. So
you bet.
Do what I can.
And you have that talent where you can do two things at one time. You can drum and you can still sing as well, huh, at the same time.
Yeah, as long as you don't ask me to chew gum, too.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's folks that aren't able to walk and chew gum at the same time. You know, it just it takes a special talent. I always marvel at some of these concertina players, how they can play the concertina and talk to the people at the same time, and that concertina keeps going, and they don't miss a note. And then sometimes they'll sing as well. And it's like, how do they do that?
Oh, yeah. You get, there's some really marvelous talent out there. I mean, Dane Molden and Dane's Dutchman. I mean, that's a one guy too. I mean, he could be thinking and talking and doing one thing and playing. Carl Hartwig, same thing. You know, he could be telling jokes and playing the song and not missing a note, you know, and then switching keys at the same time. How do you do that? So
yeah,
it's fun to see.
It is. Have you ever had the opportunity to play with some of the older bands, Jerry Schuft, Elmer Scheid, any of those bands?
Clem Brow.
Yeah,
I did play with that. I did play with them a couple times. And then back in Wally Pickle's early band, I did play with them, you know, back then as well.
Sure.
And during that transition, when I was about a senior in high school, I got into the Polish polka music. And so I was doing most of my old-time music playing in Northeast Minneapolis, in that area. So, and the one thing about the Polish bands versus the New Ulm bands, it seems like the Mississippi River is kind of the demarcation line.
The
Polish bands kind of go from the Mississippi east, and the New Ulm bands go from the Mississippi west, southwest, you know. And very seldom they cross over.
You bet.
And it's kind of weird, but that's the way it still is kind of that way today.
You bet. And it is a different... How would you describe the difference between the Polish and, like, say, the Dutchman style or so? It just seems like the Polish is maybe a little more energetic, maybe twice the notes in the song, and even though it is the same song, say, Minnesota Polka or something like that. Or how would you describe it?
It's a little... in the New Ulm style is a little more maybe big bandish, where you have... a little more formality, where they're reading score. There's not as much improvisation is what there is. And the Polish style is a little more uppity, like you mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows for more improvisation of the musicians. You know, they can go off the cuff a little bit. So, and it's two separate genres. Yet we played in Hillsboro, Wisconsin with the Harvey Becker Band and with the 8-piece group, and we played against the Hayes Boys out of eastern Wisconsin. And they play similar to the New Ulm style, only it's what they call the crying trumpet style, where it's real heavy trumpets. There's no accordion or no concertina. It's just maybe a piano keyboard. And that's a different style again, too, and I've not ever remember hearing that style before. But it's kind of like New Ulm, but then again, it kind of isn't, because there's no concertina, there's no accordion in it, and it's real heavy on two trumpets, especially the lead trumpet. You know, that is pronounced over everything else. So it was different. So.
Okay. And through the years playing this much, you must have got into quite some venues. Talk a little bit about some of the places you've played, some of the ballrooms around the state and around the country.
Oh, sure. I mean, played just about every ballroom that there was that was in operation in Minnesota. And then we go to northern Iowa, play there, and Wisconsin, like Proches and Eldred, Wisconsin. When I played with Gene Thomas and with Tommy, we used to go to New York, New Jersey twice a year, go to Michigan two or three times a year, play Frankenmuth, and we'd play several other polka festivals. So a lot of times you'd jump in the van and you'd be gone for 3-4 days. Got most of my sleep in the van, you know, traveling from one job to the other, and then maybe clean up in a hotel someplace. We were all young men, so it's burning the candle on both ends and two places in the middle didn't bother us too much, but... be tough for me to do it today. Red carpet in, playing the IPA convention was always a lot of fun, a lot of people. When I played with Tommy, both the Mrazinski boys, especially Tommy's brother Pete, was a real good marketer. He was a businessman in North St. Paul, and it was a very good marketer. And so he used to hype that up a lot for the band. So when we got there, the people were just itching to see what we were going to do. So it was a lot of fun.
You bet.
But we played Ohio, New York, New Jersey, upstate New York, Michigan all over, and Iowa, Minnesota, Dakotas, you know, any place that Duluth up in that area, Two Harbors, we used to play any place that was either a supper club or a dance hall or something. So it was a lot of fun.
Did you ever get the opportunity, so busy like you were, did you ever get the opportunity a weekend off where you could actually go out and dance to somebody else's music?
Once in a while.
Once in a while, huh?
Once in a while, yeah. It, very seldom on a Friday or Saturday, maybe on a Sunday. But
sure.
Every once in a while you did have a day off.
So. And who did you enjoy going to see?
Oh, back then, either go listen to the New Ulm bands or I go listen to a country band somewhere.
You know, okay.
Something completely different.
Uh-huh.
And there was several country bands back then. It would play up in Rockford area or, it was Wilmer. I know I used to go to a place there once in a while, so the places are long gone now.
Sure, sure.
You know, just do something different or just do nothing.
Sometimes you needed a break, yep.
Yeah, go fishing.
Yep,
so,
yep, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, very good. Mike, you didn't make your career totally on music. What did you say you did for work then?
Sure. Well, I went to vocational school, and I went into non-destructive testing. It was testing of metals and doing X-ray work and ultrasonics. And I did that out of school. I worked for a company called Magniflex Corporation in Chicago for a while, and that's where I was supposed to, in their sales department, and then I was supposed to go into New Jersey and decided, no, I don't want to live in New Jersey. So came back and worked for a company called Twin City Testing and Engineering Labs that did NDT work in the Midwest area. And I worked for them for several years. And then we bought a home in Lester Prairie across from the sales manager of Lester's Incorporated. And so I took a job with them, selling farm buildings and commercial buildings. Working, the vice president of sales was our neighbor, and he's the one that asked me to go to work for him over in Lester Prairie. So I did that for 11 and a half years, and I was a territory manager. Used to design, sell farm and commercial buildings, and also helped supervise the crews, did, you know, PR work and stuff for the company. So a lot of dairy barns, a lot of hog barns in Nicollet, Le Sueur County, Renville County. And then I got transferred down to southwest Minnesota in Slayton, and I was down there for about 4 years doing the same thing. My total career with Lester's was a little over 11 and a half years until the farm economy tanked, and it was pretty hard to sell anything in southwest Minnesota. The economy was really bad. One of my customers during my tenure with Lester's was Dave Milliband, who was the president of Milliband Manufacturing. And he heard that I was looking to get back into this area, and he asked me to come work for his company. And so I was with them for over 30 years, and I retired out of there. It'll be 3 years in September.
Okay.
And I retired after a 30-year career with Milliband. I got bored about 2 months after I retired, and one of the agencies that I hired 22, 23 years ago that covered the commercial industrial business for Milliband called me. The president said, Mike, I know you. You're going to be bored. If you do, I got a part-time opportunity for you selling LED products to LED lighting products to municipalities and government entities that I've always done business with for over 30 years. So I thought about that for a while, and I said, okay, Jerry, let's give it a try. So I've been doing that for the last 2.5 years, and I just retired for the second time here just a couple weeks ago.
Well, good for you.
And now what I'm doing is trying to just concentrate on my music business, and the time I have off, just my wife and I do a little traveling and do something like that, you know. So.
You know, Jimmy Stewart had a movie or a book, It's a Wonderful Life or something like that. I think
yeah.
You could do the same, huh?
I have a lot of stories, so.
Yes. Oh, it's been fascinating listening to it. So our time is running short, Mike. Before I let you go, I kind of forewarned you. I usually ask each and every personality if there's a memory or an experience or anything that they want to share with the listeners, good, bad, or otherwise, that crosses your mind.
Well, of course, the best memories I have, you know, are when I got married to my wife and our three children. You know, those you'll never forget. That's about the best thing that ever happened to anybody is, you know, in your life. Musically, I would say the years I played with the Mazinski Brothers and at the highlight of their career, I was one of the initial musicians, and we played the red carpet in where you had thousands of people there. back, you know, packed in this huge room, and they built up the hype. And then when you get out there, they had all these balloons, and the people weren't dancing. They were standing there just waiting to see what you're going to do. That was very exciting, you know, and I guess I'll never forget those years playing with Tommy.
So. Yep, yep.
And Bill Zerniak back then. I mean, it was a great time.
Yeah, so. And we didn't even touch on that one. You ran into Bill along the way, too. Bill Zerniak, he was playing with Mrozinski's at that time?
Yes, he was part of the original group. It was Bill Zerniak, myself, John Keen, Scott Newton, Jerry Zelazny, Tom Mrozinski, and Pete Mrozinski. And,
okay.
You know, and we did that band for about that group for 2.5 years, you know, while pushing the label. We recorded 2 or 3 albums during that time period.
Yeah,
the Here
yeah.
We Are album. In fact, one was nominated for a Grammy. I believe it was the Here We Are album was nominated, but I think Eddie Blazhancek beat us out on that during
sure,
that time.
Sure, sure.
So.
Well, that's awesome. Well,
that was cool.
Our time has run out. Mike, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for joining us on the program. And I tell each and every musician, the good Lord willing, we'll do this thing again sometime. How's that?
Oh, that's great. I thank you for asking me to be on your program. And everybody out there on Casim Radio, have a great day.
All righty. Thanks so much, Mike. I'll talk to you off the air in just a moment. And have a great afternoon.
Thank you. You too.
All right. There he goes, Mr. Mike Wendelek, our 295th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by a number of the bands that Mike had played with. You'll enjoy it.